Today, provide you with in-depth news and expert analysis, tell you the whole story and the bigger picture, bring you the news you want to know only on Today.
Welcome to Today, a news program from a different perspective. I'm your host, Ge Anna. Coming up in this weekend edition, Palace Museum's popular cosmetic lines halts production. Appetite in China grows for luxury fashion brands. Green paper shows China is heading to an era of negative population growth. And a new generation of startups focused on women's health and well-being. To hear this episode again or to catch up on previous episodes, you can download our podcast by searching for World News Analysis. Or you can find us on Easy FM or China Plus in your App Store. Today in the studio we have Liu Yunyun, Deputy Executive Editor of the Beijing Review, China Foreign Languages Publishing Administration, and my colleague Man Ling, CRI's English Commentator. Welcome and thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Now let's turn to our first topic for today. Palace Museum's popular cosmetic line halts production after facing quality defects. Just weeks after Beijing iconic Palace Museum launched a cosmetic line that made waves among beauty lovers in China, the museum's online shop shocked its fans with a decision to halt the production of all makeup items indefinitely. Palace Museum Taobao, a shop on Alibaba's e-commerce marketplace that's licensed by the Palace Museum to create the makeup line, announced the decision, confessing their products didn't live up to the hype. I still remember weeks ago, Chinese netizens go nuts for the Forbidden Cities or Palace Museum's new makeup range. Several popular products were sold out within hours. I even put some down payments to one of the very popular lipstick. So how about you, Yuan? Do you recall how popular is it when it first came out?
Yes. Actually, Palace Museum has this kind of co-production with some famous international brands about a year ago, maybe. At that time, when I saw those lipsticks, especially the design, the outfit of the design, it's so pretty because it has traditional Chinese elements and it's in our genes, so we love it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have one of those, but it was too expensive. And then this time, I heard of the lipstick thing, like it's coming out again. I searched on Taobao, but unfortunately, halts production. I'm like, just at the time when I tried to find a lipstick for my own. I'm like, what happened? So that's why I'm searching for what's going on with the lipstick. Mm-hmm. And then I find out it's not because of the design. It looks beautiful, but it's because of the quality of the lipstick itself. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty
shocking.
Right.
There is a net user called Lazy One, a 24-year-old from the southern metropolis of Guangzhou. It's one of the million of so-called loyal new fans, you know, of the Palace Museum, said, I bought them mainly for the beautiful cases. Their functionality doesn't really matter to me. We girls can't resist the charm of the pretty design. So before we talk about the reasons why you hold these productions, Man Ling, besides the designs, are there any other reasons that captured your heart?
I think it's the power of the brand name of Palace Museum that attracted people's attention, including you, because we have world's most sort of loved and established brand names, like the ones we were using, right? Lancome, Estee Lauder, you know, all these things. And why people were so easily shifted to the new products, you know?
Because of Palace
Museum.
Yeah,
because of the Palace Museum. So it shows that how much we love our cultural iconics, so the building and symbol, architecture, whatever. So I call this sort of purchase, including your down payment, you said, it's blind love. Because you don't know even the person and you fall in love with the appearances. What about, you know, its content? Because I look at all the complaints. It's about the cosmetic content, the powder too dusty and the shades were not so good, beautiful, whatever. Anyway, it's not up to people's standard or quality standard. I think Palace Museum is not careful enough in finding its partners. So one day I would like to see Palace Museum really find the one to cooperate. Cosmetics is so delicate a product.
Yes, it's something used on your face, and lips.
And even you're swallowing all these particles into your body. It's going to harm your health.
Yeah, you know, they're supposed to shoulder more responsibilities.
So they should be, this is too harsh, a kind of accusation, but I don't want to, but it's right. You know, I agree with you. They should be more cautious about what to put into the boxes, actually.
Yeah, this is a very good point, because normally people would think of a souvenir and people are like, yeah, these things are for seeing, not for people to use on their faces and lips and eyes. But then when it comes to lipsticks, maybe they are not careful enough when choosing their partners. But, you know, for us, for girls or women, when do you ever finish a lipstick? Maybe never. I have like dozens of lipsticks and just use
never
one.
Used the once.
Well, yes, just once or twice and then it's done. Yeah. You know, it's mission is over. Mm-hmm. So we keep the box, which is it's beautifully decorated. It's over. So yeah. That's maybe
it's
because
it's just our collections, right?
It's like the perfume bottles, the same. I buy some of the perfume because of the shape of bottle, the design of the bottles.
Right. I have the same thing, the whole NSU collection, but I never used the once.
See?
Just love the bottles. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned about the international brands, and we know in the past they tried to seize a share of the market by offering Chinese special editions featuring elements such as dragon or zodiac animals, but many of them have failed to resonate with younger customers in China. Some say it's not that simple for just meeting customers' aesthetic purposes. There must be some cultural relevance behind the packaging designs.
Yeah, sure. You see, you talk about dragon because in the Western world, dragon means something, you know, fierce, very strong animal, the evil animal. But in China, you know, dragon means something from the heavens, something which is very loyal, something belongs to the royal family, something actually very have a soft perspective to the dragon, what we call long. Mm-hmm. In China, it's kind of a good animal, but in the Western, in their literature and art, it's kind of a very evil animal. So when they are designing it, maybe the artists, the designs, maybe they're from the West. Mm-hmm. So they don't know about the Chinese culture. So when they design the dragon, maybe in a very not so friendly kind of way. Mm-hmm. So the Chinese will immediately spot it out. That's why these kind of cultural products, which is, you know, tailored to the Chinese market, fail sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason why the Palace Museum designs are, you know, appealing to the younger generation.
It's a very good example of overseas businesses. They have good product, but they do not really accurately understand who we are, our culture. And the typical example is the Dolce & Gabbana sort of failed effort of in PR. Right. They made such a mistake. My goodness, it stumbled so much. Because I sometimes refuse to use the word arrogant. They're being taken for granted that they know us. No. China, the society and its people progressed so quickly, and you guys are still falling behind. Mm-hmm. Although you have good stuff, but you have to please us to buy. Look at Palace Museum. It has already established itself and being loved by us. But then you cannot match what you deliver, right? So domestic businesses like Palace and Museum and overseas, you know, like Dolce and Gabbana, they were challenged by the same question. Mm-hmm. Number one, provide good quality stuff. Number two, know people, understand what they need.
Yeah, understand your customers, your targeting group.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. The popularity of the cultural cosmetics is only the tip of the iceberg for the Chinese people's growing demands of high-quality cultural productions. We saw culture-related topics from exhibitions to variety shows to the whole cultural and creative industries have become frequenters of the trending search lists on China's social media. For example, a proven popular TV show called National Treasure is very popular among young generations and also produced by the museum. So, Yun, are we seeing a revival of the Chinese traditional culture?
Well, it's always inside us. It's just being rediscovered. Because in the past, we don't have the social media. We just have the television. And the television, you know, it's like a cook. They cook something and then we eat it. But now it's different. It's like we are all cook. So we know and we disseminate the stuff we like.
I agree. Some of the programs, like one TV series about Palace Museum, 上新了故宫. Two famous young actresses pretend to be exploring, you know, the unknown part or non-public areas of parts of Palace Museum. The pace is slower. And the acting sometimes, to my standard, is a little bit artificial. I call it artificial.
Okay.
You know, it's not. But I know the efforts were there. And sometimes they review to me so many amazing things about our ancestors, about our palace. Mm-hmm. I used to be so amazed by Buckingham Palace and all the like Westminster domes of the church, you know. Mm-hmm. Everything is so meticulously made, but ours is much better. My goodness, you know. A piece of furniture have hundreds of pieces of jade inserted and carved into it, and shells glittering still.
Amazing.
But they were not known to us.
That's pre-industrial age.
Yeah. If I work in Palace Museum, I'm going to happily, you know, just dive into it. And do, we're going to use social media, use technology to turn them into public sharing thing.
Mm-hmm. Another side of the story is, when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, the Palace Museum belongs to the royal family. Mm-hmm. And the Chinese people, for ordinary Chinese people, they don't have access to those beautifully decorated or beautifully designed, you know, arts. Mm-hmm. So when people are knowing about this and they are crazy about it.
Yeah, that's why people just blindly love, you know, the things that they're putting into the market.
Mm. Yeah. And some say these kind of products deliver us as Chinese a sense of pride. Is that what President Xi has called for, a stronger cultural confidence?
I think they are two different things. Mm-hmm. President Xi is calling on people to feel proud. I think it's the call of the heart of every Chinese. Mm-hmm. We want to feel proud of us. Yes, he is right. But feeling pride or proud in such small stuff, we should separate them from making it sound so lofty. It's just like Yun Yun at the very beginning said, we love our own country. We love our own brand names. We love our own icons, stars, celebrities, and then our ancient history or products. It's kind of a blind, but it's not blind in a way that they started complaining. Mm-hmm. That means ancient stuff, heritages, should be made into modern versions so that the love can last long.
To me, I think be proud of being part of the nation and also the culture gave me the urge to buy those kind of products.
Now, if the product is not good enough, then the pride you felt will be short-lived.
Yeah,
so that's a very so if it's point. A market thing, let's follow the market way. The market says that only product of high quality and good packaging can sell.
Yes, I understand the market. I think that's the reason why the Palace Museum found their success with the products, as you mentioned before, from Chinese-style paper tapes to modern essentials like phone cases or even a calendar with designs or branding inspired by the past. But analysts are worried about whether the Palace Museum can replicate its past success in the future. So what's your take on this? And will this kind of commercial idea be a new trend in the future? Because we've already seen many TV and entertainment shows about the national relics.
I think in the short run, there will be sort of a trend, because then Palace Museum, so rich in history and in art, needs to be known. So whatever means people are using it to publicize it, it's a good thing. At least people get to know it, right? Such things exist. One thing I'm sure, that put application functioning into old antique stuff is a trend. Mm-hmm. And it is a world sort of trend. People are used because you bring life to old stuff. That is the trend.
Yeah, I think this kind of trend is partly because of its president, Shan Jixian, who has done a lot in marketing Summer Palace to the ordinary people and to commercialize, not the Summer Palace, but...
Curator.
Shan Jixian. And the Palace Museum took on a new look when he became the curator. Mm-hmm. And he tried to bring the royal families to the average people and try to, you know, design everything exquisitely.
And have some humorous twist on their products.
Right. Yeah, and they did very well on social media. So he is really a genius in popularize the Palace Museum. But before, you know, Palace Museum is someplace, a museum for you to go to, for you to visit. But now you can feel it at home.
Yeah. Anyhow, it's a bumpy road to success. Let's wait and see. Let's take a short break and we'll be back in a minute.
In-depth analysis, valuable insights, expert views, presented by an award-winning team. Today, keeping you well-informed, up-to-date, and ahead of the news.
Welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of Today, where we discuss some of the news stories happening this week that are worth another look. I'm Ge Anna with Man Lin, our English commentator, and Liu Yunyun, deputy executive editor of the Beijing Review, China Foreign Languages Publishing Administration. Let's continue our discussion on modern Chinese consumption patterns. Appetite in China grows for luxury fashion brands. Study shows Chinese consumers, who now account for 33% of the global luxury sales, are expected to make up a further 46%, an estimated $412 billion in 2025. According to a new study by Bain Consultancy, luxury goods sales in China 2018 are forecast to be up 18%. That's over $73 billion in annual spending. Chinese knew little about foreign brands before the launch of the reform and opening up policy, but now decades later, China has become the world's largest market for foreign fashion. So what has been changed domestically? Yuan Yuan.
I think it's because the people have going out to see the world and they know various kinds of foreign brands. There are a lot of people who are bringing these products back home and for people to see. I mean, what really successful about these brands is because their product, they are either, you know, beautifully designed or they are very useful and they are, the quality is super. Partly it's because, you know, the China is open to the outside world and things are coming in. Mm-hmm. So that's why we are becoming familiar with those brands.
I think two major reasons, as one already pointed out by Yunyun. One is that we have money now. Yeah, without money, you cannot
most
buy.
Yeah,
money means economic development. You know, behind it is the market economy with socialist characteristics or things like that. The other is that we opened and reformed. We opened up and reformed to the outside world. So money and accessibility. Before, you know, these quality fashion, whatever you call them, did exist. Without our knowing it, without our reaching, you know, accessibility, we cannot reach it. You know, we don't have money, we don't have accessibility. But now we have, and people are traveling. Then exposures leads to, oh, I know, oh, it's so good.
Yeah, the brand recognition. You know,
it's human nature. We all love good stuff.
But, you know, besides those increasing numbers, actually, there's another article says China's millennials are the key driver of the country's expanding fashion market. Shooting for the so-called better life puts young generations in debt. How do you make of this? Is it a healthy growth that an increasing number of the world's luxury purchases were made by Chinese consumers, especially the young consumers?
You mentioned about millennials. I think it's not the problem of the millennials. We should look at the age brackets. Maybe the people between the age of 20 and 30, they're more inclined to buy like luxury brands. Like when I was at that age brackets, I would like to buy a Louis Vuitton bag. But when we grow older, when we have baby, we have children.
You become
then
more practical.
Right. We forget about those
money,
brands,
right?
We want to save money. But the millennials, they are at the age brackets of 20-something. 20
30s, yeah.
So they like something which, you know, something they can show off.
But, you know, there is a report, data that China's millennial generation aged between 18 to 35 are among the most indebted of their peers in Asia, taking on debt that is almost 19 times their incomes. So that's an alarming number to see our generation take the lead in the credit consumption, right?
It's also because in other relatively more developed areas in Asia, because these luxurious goods have been there for a long time. And then we just opened up and we just entered into this area. It's a honeymoon phenomenon, I call it.
We just got rich.
Yeah, we just got rich.
We and have to spend.
It's the nouveau riche mentality.
Yeah, back to what you mentioned before, the show-off culture. We know China is home to countless billionaires and we have many of newly rich who love luxury products, from imported French handbags to Italian sports cars. They love to show off their bling blings. I'm not saying it is wrong, actually. Everyone have the right to pursue a better life or a quality life, but we can't deny there is a showing off culture in China among some people. What are the reasons behind the show off culture in China?
I think it's the identity thing. The show off is natural. The thing is that at different stages of development means that now we are at a material stage. Right. So we show off our material side of things. But have you noticed that we have more films being produced? Just now we talk about Palace Museum creation or innovative. We have more spiritual, mentally related stuff coming out now. We are shifting gradually, silently, maybe without knowing it, to another end. In the future, we're going to show off what sort of movies we have. What sort of cosmetic products made by Palace Museum being welcomed by people. So it's shifting. Yeah. Another thing is that those people who get rich first are those who focus very much on material gain. And then that is their identity. They put their energy and time on becoming rich. And that is their identity. Every one of us wears our identity on our sleeves. Okay, you buy it. Of course, you want to show it. If you keep it in a wardrobe,
same mentality.
Same mentality. There's no point of spending so much money, right?
Right. I think it's maybe it's not part of the reason why they show off. Maybe they are. It's the effect of their role model. For instance, a movie star.
Like, they show people that I succeeded.
And also you mentioned about influenced by foreign cultures like the Hollywood style. As far as I know, a lot of young people, they will go on Instagram to post their luxury vacation, luxury handbags. And some say that's because China's economic development hasn't been long and the Chinese society's psychology of consumption is still not mature. And they believe this is so-called Western culture invasion to copy the Hollywood lifestyle. And it becomes a standard or a model for rich groups in China. And they believe wealth is the only criteria to measure social status.
No. Don't call it invasion. I think Western culture, they have different people. People who love to show off their luxury stuff. Hollywood stars always go, you know, extravagant things. It's an identity crisis thing. That means behind it, you do not accept yourself. Mm-hmm. You want to be like others. But hey, your life is the most precious. There's something good about you. It doesn't have to be money.
Maybe this is because of the successful promotion model by the PR firms. Mm-hmm. When they post, you know, movie stars dressing in beautifully designed, you know, a brand name, bracelets or necklaces. And people are like, yeah, we want to buy something of this. Maybe it is not to your aesthetic view, but it's the promotion.
They are creating your aesthetic. As Manley mentioned before about the Dolce & Gabbana commercial incident, we saw some so-called discrimination acts from some luxury brands. Some of the different treatment burns and angers Chinese people. How do you see this kind of disputes? And how do you see these big brands adopt themselves into Chinese market?
Well, first of all, as for the Dolce & Gabbana case, I don't think they deliberately discriminate against Chinese. Because in their culture, this is the way they see the Chinese. And we need to be really aware of that. Because we see ourselves, we are very good, nice, welcoming people. When these see us, maybe it's a nation being frowned upon because, you know, some of the behaviors of our travelers. So they're not deliberately doing this. It's something we need to learn a lesson.
If we are going to reflect on it, that means our promotion, our PR are not accurate enough. So we are not going out, reaching out that much to let people to know a better us. But at the same time, they are not doing their homework either.
Right.
So it's like a separated two words. Mm-hmm. You know, their views of Chinese people, Chinese culture remains in the older stages. You know, why people got angry? Because, hey, you said this is me. This is not me. We are not like that, you know. So people got angry. If you're going to sell things to me, at least you're going to please me, right? You get my picture right. You know, you say, hey, Manling, this is you. I said, no, it's somebody else. Am I going to buy your stuff? No, you don't even know me, right? Mm-hmm. So this is very simple. And we cannot just wait for others to get to know us. Right. We need to go out.
And tell our
and
story.
And every Chinese citizen visiting outside of China actually is a promoter. So that's why don't bring your bad habits outside of China, because otherwise the whole world will see Chinese people spit everywhere, you know?
But don't you think this nationwide boycott could be a way
boycott?
To show... Yeah, the boycott of the products of Dolce & Gabbana.
No.
Even from the e-commerce platforms. Could it be a way to, you know, telling the world what kind of culture we are and we don't want to be considered in this way?
I think there should be NGOs to do the go-between thing.
Same thing. Right PR firm.
Yeah, PR. We never use the word discrimination because we know that they are not purposeful. I think they regret it. They made a terrible mistake. Right. They didn't want to make such a stupid mistake, but they made it.
But they made even worse apologies.
Yes, that's why they want to mend. And then because they don't know what we want and what sort of people we are, they made even worse, you know. This is just a vicious cycle. Boycott is not the thing. I think... you deal with the PR crisis.
Yeah, the netizens do have the right to express their discontent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But do it properly. The thing is, people are expressing, when you use the word boycott, I mean, it doesn't mean people stop buying the Dolce & Gabbana purses. I mean, it's just like, you have to stop doing this. You have to stop hurting us. You have to stop writing something which, you know, hurt the feelings of the Chinese. So that's the purpose of their, you know, so-called boycotting. But they have learned their lesson from the Dolce & Gabbana part.
Yeah, they should focus on wooing and courtship again.
Set a very bad example for a lot of other international brands. Yeah, like
right.
Italy,
right. Very typical right. one.
Indeed. Thanks, Ma Ling, CRI's English commentator, and Liu Yunyuan, Deputy Executive Editor of the Beijing Review, China Foreign Languages Publishing Administration. We've just talked about Palace Museum's popular cosmetic line's hot production and appetite in China grows for luxury fashion brands. After the break, we'll continue our discussion on China's negative population growth and women's health is the next tech boom. You're listening now is our weekly edition of Today with me, Ge Anna. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Einar Tangen. The Today Show brings expert local and international perspectives on China's economic and business issues. Having been in law, government, and finance in the United States, I find China's economic and political evolution fascinating, and hope you do also. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Today, where we talk about hot topics and intriguing issues online. I'm Ge Anna. I'm joined in the studio by my colleague Man Ling, CRI's English commentator, and Liu Yunyuan, Deputy Executive Editor of the Beijing Review, China Foreign Languages Publishing Administration. The changing of Chinese consumption pattern is reshaping Chinese society and the Chinese population structure as well. According to the Green Paper on Population and Labor released by the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences and its academic press, if the total fertility rate remains at 1.6, China would experience a negative population growth ahead of 2027. China's population is expected to reach a peak of 1.44 billion in 2029 before starting to shrink in 2030. Then dropping to 1.24 billion by 2065, the same level as in 1996. It suggests a demographic crisis is looming on the horizon for China, despite the country abolishing its decades-long one-child policy amid a growing aging population. The numbers are quite alarming. Man Ling, what's your evaluation of the situation? Will it be a serious problem if we're going to see population drop year after year?
Very serious, I think. But there are people like Yuan Yuan, you know.
Follow the national policy and have the second baby.
Yes, indeed. But how did you make it?
It's hard.
I mean, determination, the decision is a hard one, right? Well, tell us how you decided to have a second baby. A lot of young people said, no, I'm not going to have one.
See, I was one of those young people saying, no, I'm not going to have another one. But it's, well, I don't want to say this, but my second baby is an accident. Well, I didn't plan to have a second baby because raising the first one has taken all my energies and he is now in primary school and the schoolwork is hard. So we need to cope with that. But now we're having the second baby. It's good. See, when you have the first baby and the first, you know, you have your son, you have the experience of raising a child, the happiness you have and the laughter you have, enormous. It's so good. It feels good to mm-hmm. have a baby around you. Then we have the baby girl. Well, I have a son and a daughter, which mm-hmm. is, you know,
perfect.
Right, thank you. I would say the same thing.
Yeah. But do you have the worries and the same concerns that the young people are having that stopped them from having another child?
My generation is not the generation who have endured so much hard work. We're not used to being working hard. Let's face it. Let's, you know, be frank about it. Maybe in Madeline's generation, people, parents are toiling in the farm ground and people are, you know, doing hard work, mining coals and building, you know, all those villas and buildings and stuff. But my generation, though we have our hard times, but mostly we are like in a greenhouse, grew up in a greenhouse.
Some people older than me should be the one who go to countryside. I think a little bit older than you, then our life was harsher. But maybe toiling in the field, the time was over. It's not there. But then the one, you mean bringing up babies is too much work, right?
Yes, it's something you cannot handle. I sometimes just ask my grandmother, how can you handle 7 children in a room? it's not a kindergarten. It's like something is exploding.
It might be even easier, you know, to have 7 children than 1 child.
Oh, no way. People are not telling the right, you know. I mean, Madeline, how many children do you have?
1 family
policy. Oh, you are with the...
1 family, 1 child policy. You know, you have met a
Do you want to have a second child?
I don't think so. Okay, when we were talking about, we selected this topic to talk about, I'm thinking about the habit thing. Because once, like decades ago, when this policy of 1 child and 1 family was, you know, started to be implemented, and it's like a seed being planted in every mind of every Chinese person. So it's like they're not used to having the idea of having more than 1 child anymore. This is terrible. This is one reason.
Right.
And even all the supportive things like housing, medical care, everything, because we used to build only 2-bedroom apartments. 2-bedroom apartments are the most in hot demand. Because people think that one for parents and the other for 1 child. We don't even have the 3-bedroom and 4-bedroom. We do have 3-bedroom, but they are for the upper generation. You know, grandparents occupy 1. So even our housing developers, they need to change.
That's a very good point.
Their mindset. This is a habit. And the psychological habit is even much more deeper than we can think. Ask people around and they will say, I never thought of having a second one. How could I, you know, manage? This is the thing. And then they start to find different excuses. Money is not enough. School, you know, things. And you just say you don't have good enough sleep or whatever. So actually, it's a habit is like a dry wood, difficult to bend. So the aftermath of this 1-child family policy is going to be long. Mm-hmm. And plus, what worries me is that we are following the footprints of developed nations. Because once we are comfortable in our lives, we don't want chores. We don't want hardship. We don't want to sleep to be disturbed by crying babies.
Clearly, that's one of the reasons why a lot of people try to stay single.
Yeah, of course. And there's another reason. Another reason is that with the help of the technology, we have entered into an era of liberating women. To the extent that we do not need the physical power of men to get to survive. We have to marry because there are things that women cannot do, or women were not allowed to go into the society to become career women. And now if the suitcase is too heavy, we have other things, good service out there, right? Porters. And then without them, we have AI, you know, intelligence service. So marriage becomes not necessary to women anymore.
Chinese women's traditional role in the family is no longer suited for the current society in China now.
We are not criticizing the 1-child family policy because at that time, we desperately need this policy to control. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it just went, you know, population, demography go wild. But then it has been there for too long. We need to hold it earlier. Because then when we get richer, the desire is diminishing, yes, right. to produce diminishes. And then coupled with the limitation of the number of children, then, you know, you see.
The thing is, when we you mentioned, mainly mentioned developed countries. A very fresh example is France, a European nation. It has population about like 60 million past few years. And then it's short of labor. It has endured its 30-year glorious years of development. Mm-hmm. That's between 1945 to 1975. And then because of the war, they lost a lot of labor. And then they bring a lot of labor from the Middle East, from Arab nations, which have completely different cultures than the France. Mm-hmm. So when these people went to their society and become the French citizens, their cultural values are different. Their spiritual pursuit is different. So the French society is now facing a lot of issues.
The Yellow Vests movement, right?
Right. And terrorist attacks, because people are feeling, well, these people are not having as good education as, you know, the white French. So people, the anger or antagonism is growing among the people, basically because of the shortage of labor, right? So China needs to deal with this kind of thing.
Very tough. Mm-hmm. Look at the UK, Japan. They are facing the negative birth rate long time ago. But look at the US and Australia. And Canada, maybe, these countries, they are different. They are still, to a certain extent, their population is aging too, but they maintain the vitality because they're immigration, a nation of immigrants. These young life pursuing dreams, they keep coming in. But China is not a nation of immigrants.
Correct.
We have this problem. And UK is not a nation of immigrants. France is not. Japan is not. They have such a tight policy on that, allowing people to come in. So they are facing the problems. So we have two models in front of us, which way we're going to go.
Mm-hmm, that's a big problem. Both of you mentioned many Western developed countries. We've seen that in those countries, they have incentive policies to encourage people to have more babies. The same thing happened in China as well. There are some local governments, they also have those incentive policy to encourage people. In your opinion, are they effective or, more importantly, necessary?
First of all, I don't think there's going to be a massive encouragement measures because we're talking about a population of 1.3 billion. It's hard for people to do something with that scale. I personally believe it's not a choice of the government, it's a choice of parents. Do they want a second child or a third one?
But if the government have more incentive policies, you could, for young people, if I don't have to spend that much of money to support a child, then maybe I could make the choice to have a baby.
The incentives only work for those who are willing to have babies.
Right.
Because one typical example, for example, Northern European countries like Sweden, they have very good welfare from cradle to the tomb. They covered everything. Life is so easy, but people still do not want kids. In the UK, I've been reporting on how the third child will enjoy free milk, you know, from the government. The UK is doing everything, try to encourage, but these will not work. Ask people who decided to become a dink family. Mm-hmm. You know, ask people who decided not to marry. Cohabitation is so popular. How could you force them to say, hey, I have incentives for you to make babies? No. So making life easier for those who are willing to have babies is one way. Mm-hmm. Because at least maybe originally they just only want one child, but then because of that, they love kids. And then with the incentives, then they will have five children. So that's why I actually wanted to see our country not to stick to just two children sort of policy. Would you please just say, hey, as long as you wish to have children, you can have as many as possible. Even with that policy, it's a little bit too late.
Yeah, and the incentives have to be really high to lure people to have more children. And I don't trust the government have that kind
this
of money.
Capacity and willingness.
Right. If we spend like 5,000 kwai on each second born child, coupled with like 1 billion people, that's a huge number. So the government won't do that. So with the little tiny incentive, it won't help.
Yeah. Mm. Cradle to tomb means, hospital, right? Childbirth, education, aging population, housing, everything. Schooling. Can you make every child equal opportunity to go to good school?
That's a very good point.
Yeah, only this makes, and also medical sort of care. You know, pregnancy, even we haven't achieved painless sort of had a delivery. I am a promoter of using anesthesia in childbirth. Mm-hmm. Chinese women should not be suffering that much, because that fear of giving birth to children also is stopping women from having children. Mm-hmm. Some of them fear, you know, why should I suffer? It's so painful.
Do you share the same feelings?
Yes, definitely. That's why a lot of women are getting depression. There are new mothers who jump off the buildings with their babies because they cannot handle this kind of anxiety. Mm-hmm. That's a big issue in our society now.
The government should do more on these kind of problems, right?
Right. And the thing is,
The funny thing is that the excuse of not having painless sort of delivery is that we don't have enough doctors to practice the anesthesia. We do not have enough anesthesiologists. This is easy, you know, for universities to train more people. It's the mindset you need to change. And there's another thing that people are afraid that if we use the chemical, because this anesthesia, the drug is going to go to your backbone, you know, spine. But Western doctors or Western medicine has already studied, it's not going to affect your baby at all. So if we can overcome these first.
Yeah. So change the mindset first.
Yes.
Yeah. Just now, we've been talking about the changing of China's demographic picture. Let's take a short break. Stay with us.
ChinaPlus.CRI.CN is your home for everything you want to know about China.
The latest news in China and everything China-related from around the world.
Everything in focus, all in one place, bringing you vital information for your business and travel.
Chinese culture, language learning, and more.
ChinaPlus.CRI.CN.
ChinaPlus.CRI.CN, your portal into today's Middle Kingdom.
Welcome back. You're listening to Today, a news program from a different perspective. I'm Gaena with Liu Yunyun, Deputy Executive Editor of the Beijing Review, China Foreign Languages Publishing Administration, and Ma Ling, CRI's English commentator. Women's self-awakening may be a factor to the population structure change, but it definitely a driving force for the women's health technology is called femtech, a growing multi-million dollar market flooded with period trackers, pelvic health gadgets, and pink fitness bands. Health is becoming a central focus for new startups looking to improve women's health and well-being. It is a market that appeals to women of all ages, especially as they navigate their key life transitions and health issues. Now, new technologies are enabling women to manage their health and well-being in a more precise and personalized way than ever before. From birth tracking apps to postmenopausal medications, the new platform is providing a long overdue change in the women's health market. So, Maling, have you ever tried any women's health and well-being related apps or techs?
No, never. But I asked around. A lot of my colleagues, they've been using them.
Mm-hmm. Have you? Period track.
No.
They've been, mostly they're post-80s. They told me that they downloaded many. Period calculation. Yeah. And there are baby care, you know, medical sort of stuff. I searched on the internet because I didn't use it. And I wanted to find out, do we have here in China called femtech sort of stuff? I have found some of them very interesting. Chuan chuan means you wear clothes, you know, Chuan yifu, right? And then hu fu bao, skincare. And Mingxing Yigui, the wardrobe of celebrities or things like that, if we're going to translate. And Daima is for the period tracking.
Yeah.
You know? And Bohe means to lose weight. And Bao Bao Shu, tree.
Baby tree.
Baby tree. Maybe you heard of this.
Yeah,
have you done that?
Well, I have
it
on PC
it?
And.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
so you did use that. You forgot.
Yeah.
Baby tree. And then all sorts of things. Mm. I said, did you guys rely on it? They said, some of them are good and some of them, you know, we paid membership money and then they're not good enough and I have no way to get the money back and I deleted I delete them. So that's the situation here in China.
I found it very interesting is that in China, we also have those kind of apps that even help their customers to solve relation problems, in-law problems.
Yes, our in-laws take care
Chinese
of
Chinese characteristics.
Yeah, we have more complex situations in the family. Yeah.
Yes. Well, frankly, I don't use period tracker and anything of that, but I do use something which is like a
baby tree,
which, you know, you enter the birth date of your baby.
Yeah.
And then it will have tweets about like how old is your baby now and what kind of new skills he or she might get when he is or she is like 1 year, 1 month old or 2 months old. And I look at it like every day, literally every day, because I want to know whether my baby is developed like normally as the other babies. So, and I want to look at like how she will behave or how she will look like, what kind of new skills she will get in next month. So every day is a new day. So I use that for my baby, not for me.
The thing is that Femtech is for women, right?
Yeah.
But the baby tree is for both men and women, right?
Right.
And I asked around, they told me that no men, no husbands download that one.
Data show that the female health industry is one of the fastest growing industry in China. It has undergone tremendous changes from scratch. Why is women health technologies a promising project in the near future, in your opinion?
People are, I think, using it to collect data from women so that they can make products which women can buy, because women, Chinese women, hold the purse in a family.
Yeah.
So I think
this is another reason.
Maybe they're targeting women because they want you to buy stuff which is not related to your period. Maybe they want to sell products to you, like related to other stuff, clothes, cosmetics, purse, you know, baby stuff.
In China, there's a saying that it's easy to earn money on babies and women.
And women, right.
Yeah, about Yunyun's point of view about who controls the purse strings in the family, right? I saw that article as well. It says this really depends on who holds the purse string in the family. Unlike China, in Western world, men hold the purse strings. So for that reason, consumer health technology has been mainly targeting white male customers. Take Apple, for example. Apple Watch is much more masculine than women-targeted devices.
I actually have something. I thought about this claim that in the West, maybe men holding the purse strings. But there's one detail there. Domestically, in a household, Chinese women do control the purse, right?
Yes.
But actually, in the greater society, when they were talking about investment in femtech products, that article written by a foreign media, which says that men are holding the strings of purse, so that's why they feel unwilling to invest in femtech products. But the situation is the same. I think like Ma Yun is the big purse string holder. In all the enterprises and businesses, the large majority of wealth is still in the hands of Chinese men. The situation is the same. Mm-hmm. It's not that we have more female business people who are billionaire and millionaire. No. The world is still a world of men.
It's still a patriarchal society, right?
It's the same situation. So that article is analyzing into the fact that in a little venture capital are put into developing femtech products. Because men are unwilling, it has nothing to do with them. It's the same situation here. But I want to say that femtech products is only the same as every product we are using. If there is a demand, there will be businessmen. Yeah, business people are so sensitive of opportunities of making money. So it's like you need to create menswear, women's wear, women's purses or whatever, and men's gymnastics sort of outfits or whatever. It's just the ordinary. It's natural.
Yes, indeed, it has a promising future of this kind of technology. But do you have any concerns about the development of the femtech?
The only concern here in China, I'm not in a position of saying in other countries. Here, I have definitely sensed this worry because it's irresponsible. They develop apps very easily nowadays. Technology allows it to happen. But what about after sale? What about compensating of low quality or bad service? These girls are telling me who downloaded them, And after paying several hundreds of, you know, RMB in membership, they found it not good enough and they are asking for money back and they were never responding to them. And the only way is to delete them. Otherwise, you don't have enough capacity. So this is not good. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is right. So there should be supervision, right? The government or maybe the law should be coming in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there are the worry about like privacy. Maybe, you know, your personal records of something is in the app and people might, you know, find your vulnerable points and then they might use it to mm-hmm. target you. I don't think this would be a big problem, but it is a concern.
But when you're using the Baby Tree app, mm-hmm. have you ever concerned about the leakage of the
app? Of course. There are preschool education companies calling me like every day because I have to enter my real name, real phone number to get the alert. So the information of my, you know, baby and myself are out there. So people are calling me, contacting me like every day. So it's hard to, you know, turn these people down because they're doing their job. But it's also time consuming and it's bothering me.
Disturbing, right?
Yes.
Distracting and disturbing.
Right. Yes.
And by the way, that when you are bringing up your child, the more you compare, the more frustrated you become. You know, every baby is different. If that baby starts to talk, it doesn't necessarily mean your baby should be talking. You should delete
right?
that. Go home and delete that. But
exactly.
Do you have to post your baby's photos on it?
I don't have to.
Oh,
yeah, it's
good.
Just my information and my baby's information.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. good. Yeah.
But I think a lot of parents, they love this app and they will share their baby's photos. And
that's why I get nervous because my baby girl don't know how to, you know, flip up on the bed. And other babies, when they are 3 months old, they can do that.
See?
So it makes me nervous.
More pressure from an app.
Right. And I know every baby is different. I just have to wait.
Mm. I am a very cautious person. I think, look at, I saw pictures of Tony Blair when he was young. I think one of the pictures was long hair, maybe he tasted marijuana or whatever, but a politician. That time when internet was not there, right? Only photos, right? Very limited access or spreading news where mm-hmm. people dig out mm-hmm. your negative images.
Right.
And use them.
Use it against you.
Against you. Mm-hmm. So that's why only nowadays it's so easy for people to grab your photos, grab your images. You know, you need to protect your child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't right. ever, you know, post babies' pictures onto the internet. Oh my goodness, it's just scary.
Okay. So from a bigger picture, how do you foresee the development of the femtech in China?
I think it's going to be gradually, it's going to be healthier, definitely. People want convenience. If there's one which can tell me, okay, on condition that my privacy will be protected, right? On condition that it's not disturbing me that much, mm-hmm. you welcome it. But if you need to just kind of calculate how much you gain and how much you can to give up.
Anything to add?
Well, as long as it is good for those who are using it, I'm not saying I'm going to use it, but if people are using it, it means it has the market. And for those app companies to make money, they need to sell something. And I think it's also legitimate. Mm. But the thing is, we need to protect our privacy and protect the users.
Mm. More customer oriented.
Right.
Thanks, both of our guests. Liu Yun, Deputy Executive Editor of the Beijing Review, China Foreign Languages Publishing Administration, and my colleague Man Ling, CRI's English Commentator. That's all the time we have for this weekend edition of Today. A quick recap of today's headlines. Palace Museum's popular cosmetic lines halts production. Appetite in China grows for luxury fashion brands. Green paper shows China is heading to an era of negative population growth and a new generation of startups focused on women's health and well-being. If you want to hear this episode again or to catch up on previous episodes, you can download our podcast by searching for World News Analysis, or you can find us on Easy FM or China Plus in your app store. You'll be listening to Today, a news program from a different perspective. I'm Guiana. Thank you so much for joining us.